VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, this coming weekend, February 9th through the 11th, marks the 13th annual Evolution Weekend, in which more than 14,000 clergy members have gone on record and are openly denying the authority of Scripture in celebration of Darwin Day. They have openly signed a letter calling the theory of evolution a foundational scientific truth and that we cannot read the Bible literally as we would a science textbook. You need to be alerted to this because you might be in a church that's openly denying the Word of God. Our guest today is going to address this issue, but there's something else you need to know about, and that is about our guest. There is a growing intolerance of his message. Matter of fact, he was just booted from delivering a speech on a university campus that was to take place next month due to an uprising of an LGBT group. So we're going to find out the story about that as well. And we're talking today with Ken Ham, who is the president, CEO, and founder of Answers in Genesis U.S., the highly acclaimed Creation Museum, and the world-renowned Ark Encounter. Ken is one of the most in-demand Christian speakers in North America and author of numerous works. Ken, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Great to be with you again.
I really would like to begin on a positive note. Give us an update on what's happening at Ark Encounter and Creation Museum.
Yeah, it's always good to start with the good news, isn't it?
It is.
It always helps. The Ark Encounter Creation Museum, wow, I tell you, the Lord has certainly blessed what we have done there, and people coming from all over the world, from all over America. Right now, of course, we're in our winter months, and the people aren't traveling as much, but come March through, right through the end of the year, it's very, very busy. And in the first year at the Ark, we had over a million people, which to us was staggering because we didn't open until halfway through the summer. And of course, we didn't have the bus tours that year because, you know, they're not going to promote tours until they know you're open and functioning, and then they, you know, have to promote them to get people. But we still had, in 2017, we still had hundreds of buses come. 80% of those are secular tours, would you believe? And they go to other secular attractions. And some of the big companies that have talked to us said when they ask the people to rate the attractions they take them to, they rate Ark as number one and the museum as number two, and yet they go to some of these other secular attractions as well. And so, you know, we've been expanding things at the Ark. We put in a West Village and an East Village. We're going to be expanding the zoo behind the Ark. We put in some extra exhibits inside the Ark. So we've done a lot of additions there. And right now, we're building a 2,500-seat auditorium multi-purpose room at the Ark that'll be open this summer so we can do all sorts of speaking programs and workshops and animal programs and so on there. We've added a petting zoo inside the Ark on the second deck. We bring animals up there every day, and people can even come in. Children can walk in there and interact with the animals, and we have a petting zoo at the back of the Ark as well. So it's really been phenomenal. People coming from all over the world, and the diversity of people that comes, that's what really strikes us, because they come from so many different backgrounds. There's been groups of Muslims there and all sorts of other people, Hindus, and as well as, you know, Christians from all sorts of denominations, and Amish, Mennonite people. It is exciting to see the mix of people there. And, of course, because the Ark opened, the numbers at the Creation Museum on some days have quadrupled, other days tripled or doubled, and we had to build some big parking lots at the Creation Museum to accommodate all the buses and all the cars that are coming. And so both these, they're the two leading Christian attractions in the world. And now, because of the Ark and the Creation Museum, Northern Kentucky is considered the biggest faith-based, that's what they call it, faith-based tourist destination in America. And it's really had an impact on the economy here with the hotels and food service and so on. So here we have Christian facilities that not only are attracting all these people, but actually helping the state economically, and it's becoming known as a place where you can come and hear a Christian message. How's that?
Well, Ken, and that's what I so appreciate about both Ark Encounter and Creation Museum is that there is no hiding the gospel message. It is out there. It is blatant. It is there to present to individuals. And I just so appreciate the blatantness of presenting the gospel. You can't escape it.
No, you can't. And, you know, it's interesting. Jim, we had people from the church who said, this is not going to work. To build a Christian attraction, the quality of Disney, and actually I think in many ways it's even better than Disney in quality, the quality of Disney, massive attractions, and yet present the Bible and the gospel overtly in this culture. They said, well, people aren't going to come to that. But when you do something that is high quality and you're bold about it and you do it in the right way, we don't bang people on the head with the message. You've been here, you know.
Right.
We present it very sensitively, but boldly. People can't escape from what we're saying and what we believe. And yet, we have so many non-Christians come. It's estimated that probably 30% of those that come to the Ark are non-Christians. And I go down there, I can hear non-Christians talking at times, saying, wow, I never thought of that. Wow, that's challenging, isn't it? And I've had many of them tell me, they say, well, we mightn't agree with the message, but we certainly appreciate the way you present it, and it's so first class. And you know, God uses that to minister to them and to open their hearts to the truth. So it's interesting. When you do something bold for the Lord, you do it in the right way, and you do it as unto the Lord with the best possible quality. And God has brought along so many talented people for us to do this. And you present it boldly, not trying to hide anything. I tell you, the Lord blesses that, and the people come.
And ladies and gentlemen, we would certainly strongly recommend you take a family trip or a bus trip from your church to visit Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. It is certainly worth it. Matter of fact, VCY has sponsored many of these trips. Our next one is coming up March 22nd through the 24th, just a little over a month away. There are some seats left. You can find the info at vcyamerica.org. But whether it's this trip or from your area or a family vacation, really, really worth it. To visit these two sites and just to rejoice at how the gospel is presented. But, folks, it's a real learning experience as well. Well, Ken, it's exciting to hear what's going on there. Not so exciting to hear what's happening to free speech on university campuses, though. I guess free speech, we used to think this was free open forums on college campuses, but there's a shocking ordeal that's been unfolding at Oklahoma Central University. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, actually, I was scheduled to speak there. The student association there had obtained permission for me to give a presentation there, a 60-minute presentation followed by a 45-minute question time. And they even signed a contract. In fact, we've got two contracts, one that we sent, one that they sent, and signed even by the university officials for me to come there on March the 5th and give this presentation. And I'm actually speaking at another church in the Oklahoma area during that time as well. But so what happened was we got an inkling that something was going on because they eventually just canceled and said, you know, we can't have you here now. And what we found out from the emails that were sent and the phone calls we received, and we got the documentation of all this, and it's well recorded because the student president has been interviewed by various newspapers, including the Oklahoman. There's a big article in the Oklahoma's biggest newspaper today that talked about this. And it's because what happened was an LGBT group at the campus, that and the LGBT groups are sponsored by a tenured professor who got the people there, the students in that group, stirred them up to bully the student association and to put pressure on them and to cause so much trouble that I think the student association was worried about what was going to happen, safety and other things, that they felt pressured and bullied that they had to cancel me coming. And it just goes to show you the people in this LGBT group. It's interesting. In the Oklahoman newspaper, front page article today, the president of the student association said, members of a group affiliated with the Women's Research Center, BGLTQ+, at the UCO, University of Central Oklahoma, opposed Ham's visit because of his views that marriage is between one man and one woman. So in other words, I wasn't scheduled to speak on LGBT issues or anything like that. I was going to talk on the title of the talk was Genesis and the State of the Culture. So I was going to do something like what I did with Bill Nye, you know, talk about what science is and isn't. We have different worldviews. We interpret evidence differently. And, of course, that would involve talking about some moral issues and why I have the particular beliefs I do. But, that you know, I don't attack LGBT or them or whatever. And the student president goes on and says, I want to be very clear on this. There have been members of our campus who have tried to bully me in my decision. While none of these examples have involved members of the administration, there is definitely something that must be done to address this issue. I am not the first person to be personally attacked by a very vocal group on campus that has little tolerance for opposing views. And, you know, that's what we're finding with these groups. I mean, on my own Twitter and Facebook, I get mixed up with all their letters now, LGBTQ, whatever it is, groups get on there, and some of the people from them, and they are so perverse, they are so hateful, they attack me personally, they make threats, they blaspheme, and it's interesting to see that these are the people that accuse us of being intolerant, that they're the most intolerant of all, and they want to close down free speech. You know, what about our First Amendment rights? Even the Constitution of Oklahoma makes it very clear that people have a right to free speech, and this is a tax-funded public university. So people should wake up to what's going on here. But, you know, one of the local churches, Fairview Baptist Church there in Edmond, Oklahoma, opened its doors and said, come and give the speech here, which I'm going to do at 6:30 on the same night on March the 5th. Come and give the speech here, and they opened their doors to me, so I'm going to be doing that. But the fact that they had to cancel at the university, even with the signed contract, they had to cancel because of pressure from an LGBT group bullying and opposing, we need to wake up to what's happening in this nation. We're losing our freedom of speech on colleges, and this is not the first time this sort of thing has happened at a secular university, as you know. It's happening all across this nation. There's lots of examples of it, and we need to start standing up for freedom of religion, freedom of speech in this nation.
And folks, understand again that this is a group that's Christ. You need to be tolerant of us. Tolerance, you know, let's coexist. And yet at the same time, and here's what Todd Starnes said. He writes for Fox News, but he has a column on townhall.com. He wrote that the University of Central Oklahoma has opened its arms to drag queen shows and so-called safe sex carnivals, but they draw the line at Christians who believe God created the heavens and earth in 6 days.
Well, yeah, and Jim, the university actually had its logo on the advertisement for the drag queen event and actually provided funding for that as well. And this same tenured professor that heads up the LGBT group there at the university is the one that sponsors this safe sex carnival, they call it. And I couldn't even tell you what they do there because it is so perverse from a Christian perspective. Yet that's allowed, but not a Christian to come on campus.
Ken Ham, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and folks, we're going to be getting into Darwin Day here momentarily, but it's unbelievable what's happening on college campuses, and in this particular case, it is a classic case of bullying that's going on because they will not tolerate the Christian message. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has life been found on meteorites?
No, it hasn't, Chris, even though this fairy tale is continually repeated by my evolutionary colleagues. Microscopic studies of certain meteorites has led them to claim that they have seen hints of past microbial life. But other scientists have studied the same samples and are absolutely convinced that these are really just inorganic crystals or compounds. It's hard to overcome some of these stories once they hit the mainstream press and are repeated over and over again. But the fact is, life has not been found anywhere but on planet Earth, and it's here in abundance, just like we would expect from the Back to Genesis truth of creation.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and our guest today, Ken Ham, President, CEO, and founder of Answers in Genesis, also the Creation Museum, Ark Encounter. It's exciting to hear what is happening there, and certainly how it's making a difference for eternity in the lives of so many. And again, we have a trip going there March 22nd through the 24th. Information available at vcyamerica.org. Totally astounding to see what's happening on the university campus, Oklahoma Central University, that is bullied a student group to rescind an invitation. They had a contract with them for Ken to come and speak. And Ken, I understand that of all places, this was to be done in the school's Constitution Hall.
Yeah, how about that? The Constitution of America that is adamant about freedom and, you know, the First Amendment is about freedom of speech, freedom of religion, free exercise of religion. So I wasn't allowed to speak in Constitution Hall because the student group that invited me to come with permission of the university had to cancel because a group on campus that's a minority, it's a small minority, are so intolerant of free speech that they had to cancel me, and so I couldn't speak in Constitution Hall. Yeah, the irony of it when you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know this is not deterring you from going to that area. You're giving that same lecture at Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond on March the 5th. And Ken, it's not only what's going on at university campuses, but the tragic story at the same time is the intolerance of God's word taking place in churches across America. We've got over 14,000 clergy members who have gone on record openly denying the authority of Scripture. Ken, tell us about the Clergy Letter Project and Darwin Day. What's happening?
You know, February 12th is Darwin's birthday. It's also Abraham Lincoln's birthday too, by the way. What happened was that back in 2006 was the first Evolution Sunday, and it all came out of what was called the Clergy Letter Project, and a professor from a university called Michael Zimmerman, who, now listen to this, who was an atheist, he tried to get and was succeeded in getting a number of clergy from churches to sign this letter that said that they believed in evolution and millions of years and so on. And also then out of that came the Evolution Sunday, which was, you know, to get these churches to really exalt Darwin and exalt evolution on the Sunday, you know, that's close to Darwin's birthday. For instance, this year it would be Sunday the 11th of February, this coming Sunday. And then that eventually changed name to Evolution Weekend, and this weekend would be the 13th Evolution Weekend. And so all these various clergy that agree to do this sign up to be able to, you know, exalt Darwin. Now, let me tell you the good news, Jim. The good news is that there's less churches signed up for Evolution Weekend this year than in previous years. So it seems to be waning somewhat. And maybe it's because, you know, maybe some of these clergy have found out when you exalt Darwin and tell people they're just animals and they just evolved and everything's explained by natural selection over millions of years, supposedly, maybe they start to realize, wait a minute, if I'm just an animal, then, you know, I'm not special, I'm not made in God's image, then who decides right and wrong and so on? That means the Bible's not true. But here's something else that's a part of this, because the American Humanist Association has really led the charge to amplify Darwin's birthday. And they're all a part of getting some senators and congressmen to try to pass resolutions to honor Darwin. They want to make February 12th, you know, Darwin Day, because that's his birthday. And for instance, there's a Senate Resolution 374 this year that Mr. Blumenthal, Senator Blumenthal is one of the ones that's sponsoring that, plus some others. And then in the House of Representatives, Mr. Himes, plus some others, are sponsoring this resolution. And by the way, resolution is not just to designate February 12 as Darwin Day. No, I don't think these resolutions will pass. They've tried this in other years and they haven't, but they keep bringing it back. But when you read the resolution, it's not just to honor a man for his birthday. It's actually got statements in there that are against creation, and statements about climate change and so on. So there's an agenda to this to really exalt evolution and to stop people believing in creation. So there's a number of things that have happened as a result of this, you know, a original Evolution Sunday, Evolution Weekend, and now the American Humanist Association. See, when you think about it, it's the American Humanist Association, which is a group of atheists that are trying to push this Darwin Day now. And it began with this clergy letter project that was actually sponsored by an atheist. So you see what's happening is the atheist wanted clergy to believe in evolution because they know if you can get clergy not to believe the Bible and not to teach the Bible to their congregations, well, you know, that's gonna really undermine Christianity. And so it's amazing that these clergy would actually sign something because an atheist wants them to push evolution in their churches. But that's what's been happening, and that's where it's at right now.
Well, folks, again, and I'm holding these two resolutions in my hand, Senate Resolution 374 and House Resolution 699. Both of these were introduced on January 18th of this year, and to declare February 12th as being Darwin Day, but also looking at a special action alert that had come out with they're commending here the American Humanist Association and stating that the evolution provides humanity with a logical and intellectually compelling explanation for the diversity of life on Earth, to demand that the advancement of science be protected from those unconcerned with the adverse impacts of global warming and climate change, and confirm that the teaching of creationism in some public schools compromises the scientific and academic integrity of the United States education systems. Now, Ken, it's so interesting because for many, many years, creation was taught in the public schools,
right,
and we had a whole lot less problems than what we have now.
And think about this, that really what these people are trying to do, in a sense, is to legislate, which they've been doing all along in the public schools, to protect the teaching of evolution. If creation is so wrong, if the evidence is so against creation, why would they be worried about you teaching creation to kids? And see, these resolutions, and these are Democratic senators and Democratic congressmen that are pushing this. As I said, it's not just about Darwin Day. It's not just to exalt Darwin's birthday, but it's actually to push an agenda in regard to climate change, in regard to the teaching of creation in schools. You know, isn't it interesting that there was an article that I read today, from India, where one scientist in India came out, and he's associated with education, and he came out and said that he didn't believe in evolution, didn't agree with evolution, that the evidence is against evolution. And there's furore amongst the scientific community in India, and 3,000 scientists signed this document to say that would undermine scientific research, and they're going to be now pushing for Darwin's birthday. They're going to be pushing a whole week of getting speakers into schools and colleges, universities, and so on. One scientist came out and said they disagreed with evolution, and it's furor across the nation with these other scientists. They're worried about what one scientist says. It's almost like, you know, me in the University of Central Oklahoma. You know, you've got all these LGBT students there and so on, and they have access to all sorts of information. They're worried about me, one person coming there. You know, it shows you that they must be really worried about the position they hold if they're worried about one person who can come and speak. And why are these evolutionists so worried about and these, you know, these senators and congressmen so worried about creation being taught in school if it's so wrong? Why are they worried about it? No, they want to legislate to protect the teaching of evolution, to brainwash generations of kids and not let them even hear the evidence for creation, and these kids aren't being taught how to think correctly.
Ken Ham is with us today, founder of Answers in Genesis. Their website, answersingenesis.org, answersingenesis.org, a gateway website to their ministry. So many helpful resources that are there, answers to your questions. Certainly we'll get you links to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum as well. Ken, as we look at this clergy letter project and Darwin Day, and we see phrases of which clergy members, I mean, over 14,000 have gone on record saying, you know, the overwhelming majority do not read the Bible literally as they would a science textbook. Religious truth is a different order than scientific truth. Why is it that clergy members in droves, why is it pastors are so willing to abandon the authority of God's word?
Yeah, you know, that's a question many people have asked me over the years. And, you know, what it really comes down to, if you think about it, when you understand our sin nature, I mean, all have sinned. Well, where does sin come from? When you go back to Genesis and you realize what happened when the serpent came to Eve and said, did God really say? And it was to question the authority of God's word, to reinterpret God's word. And then instead of listening to God's word, don't eat the fruit of the tree, what did Adam and Eve do? They looked at the evidence, they looked at the fruit and decided for themselves it was good to look at and must be good to eat. That's our nature. So our nature is that we really don't want to trust God's word. And what the serpent also say? You can become like God. In other words, our sin nature is we want to be our own God. We want to decide truth for ourselves. So it really comes down to a pride issue. It really illustrates the sin nature of man, that we, instead of being submissive to the word of God, we would rather exalt the word of fallible man. And this is an illustration of this right here in this clergy letter project. And, you know, it's interesting what they say about the Clergy Letter Project and Evolution Weekend, an opportunity for serious discussion and reflection on the relationship between religion and science. Well, here's a whole other issue. As you know, when I debated Bill Nye, one of the big things I did was to talk about what science is and what it isn't. A lot of these clergy have the idea that evolution is science, but the word science means knowledge, and there's a big difference between knowledge about the past, beliefs about origins, and knowledge you gain using your five senses that builds technology. And a lot of these people went to our schools and colleges and been indoctrinated to believe that, oh, if I don't believe in evolution, how can I believe in technology? And they really have a total false understanding of science. So it comes down to a pride issue and their sin nature and the way they've been educated.
Ken Ham with us here today on Crosstalk, and we're opening our phone lines. If you have a question you'd like to ask Ken here, we're talking about Darwin Day in particular, but questions, maybe there's something that stumped you on this aspect of evolution versus creation, and you'd like to speak with Ken. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Pressure is rising. The global atmosphere is morphing as never before. It's time to pay attention to world events to see how the stage is being set for the end times. In the book, End Times Supertrends, author Ron Rhodes presents 15 current trends that point ahead to the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. End times apostasy, the rise of alternative religions, the severe moral decline, the deterioration of religious freedom, the rising persecution and martyrdom of Christians, escalation of cyber attacks, the growing nuclear and EMP threat, the coming cashless world, the rising use of biometrics, the Middle East conflict, the escalating hatred toward Israel, and more. End Times Supertrends is a fascinating book, as you will see all these issues coming together for God's appointed time. It is available for a donation of $16 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk coming your way from VCY America, where our number is 800-733-9829. Ken Hamm is with us from Answers in Genesis, their website answersingenesis.org. And Ken, we are inundated with stories of young people who are just abandoning their faith, leaving the church, especially as they go off to college. Is there a direct link between their leaving and what the church has done with the authority of Scripture, such as all these clergy members who are you know, going on to openly deny the faith, so to speak, the literal interpretation of God's word?
Certainly there is, and I'll tell you the bad news first, and then I'll tell you some good news as well. But we definitely see an exodus from the church with the younger generation, and that's been well documented by many different sources. And we did our own research a number of years ago. America's Research Group went out and surveyed these young people who have left the church. And when asked why they left the church, it really came down to what they've been taught at school about evolution, millions of years, and such topics caused them to doubt God's word. But when they went to church, they had many pastors, Sunday school teachers tell them, you can believe in evolution, it doesn't matter. They weren't taught how to defend their faith. They weren't taught apologetics. And they realized, you know, how can the Bible be true, and we can't trust the Bible, and they walk away from the church. And we've done the research to show that. We actually published all that in a book called Already Gone. We've actually done research since then on the millennials that are still in our churches, and many of them have a secular worldview, and many of those that even sit in our churches, young people, are doubting God's word because of the same sorts of reasons, with what's being taught in the public school system, they're seeing on TV, and churches aren't teaching apologetics to defend the faith, and many pastors are telling them that you don't need to believe in the book of Genesis. But the good news is, you know, Answers in Genesis has produced a lot of apologetics materials that are now being used in churches. Our Sunday school curriculum, 4-year curriculum, that's apologetics, biblical authority, and chronologicals, used in 10,000 churches now. And more and more, I'm getting pastors telling me that when they started using apologetics material and teaching kids, young people, adults, how to defend their faith, answers to the skeptical questions, I've had pastors tell me it's reversed the exodus from the church. They're not seeing the exodus like they were. And the same for our VBS program that's used by thousands of churches now. They're saying that because of the emphasis on apologetics, many young people that were doubting the Bible come to believe God's word and put their trust in Him as Lord and Savior, and that's what it's all about. So we really need to stand on the authority of the word, and you know, when we have Christian leaders that are telling coming generations, you don't need to believe this part of the Bible, and you can believe what man says and reinterpret this or throw this bit out, they become more consistent and just walk away from the church and throw the whole Bible out. And that's sadly what has happened. So we need to stand on the authority of God's word and defend our faith.
Answersingenesis.org is a website, answersingenesis.org. And also a special note for those of you in southeast Wisconsin in particular, Bodie Hodge from Answers in Genesis will be speaking Saturday, March 3rd at our VCY rally at the Waukesha Expo. Creation versus evolution, is Genesis relevant? And I know, Ken, this would be something you highly recommend people come out and hear Bodie.
Absolutely. Bodie is a great speaker, and he knows how to defend his faith, and that's one of the things that you want to make sure that you know how to do, is to defend your faith and have those answers. So I urge people, look, we have whole generations of kids that don't know how to answer questions, but the adults don't know how to answer questions. So everybody needs to come under this teaching and be able to be equipped. I find that many people say it's like a light bulb that goes on. It makes such a difference with them. I've had many adults and young people tell me it's like a relief that they know they can believe the Bible, makes such a difference to them. And many of them said it really sets them on fire for the Lord, and they go out and want to evangelize others. It changes their whole attitude towards Scripture and towards the gospel.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. We have Carissa calling from Reedsburg, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Carissa.
Hi. I'm just in reference to what you've been talking about since you've been off the break. I think part of the reason why some of these LGBTQ community would get so upset with the speaking about creation is the number of them that are coming out of supposed Christian homes You know, you got pastors that are declaring themselves homosexuals, and the churches are just welcoming them with open arms. And the Bible says, train your child up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they should not depart from it. And part of the problem is we've got so many of these parents that are taking their kids to church on Sunday, and then they're exposed to all kinds of sexual immorality all week long. And 2 hours a week of spiritual influence by a Sunday school teacher is just not enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, I totally agree with you. You know, the church is the problem, and parents are the problem. And, you know, so many parents have not taken on their responsibility to train up their children, to teach them how to defend their faith, to stand on the Word of God. And you're right, the church is a problem. So many pastors have compromised God's Word. And, you know, when you have been told you can take man's ideas about evolution of millions of years and reinterpret Genesis, why should we be surprised when those same pastors then say you can take man's ideas about marriage and reinterpret marriage as well, because they've really undermined the authority of Scripture. And so I agree with you. There's a lot of people in the LGBT movement that grew up in the church, but because they weren't taught the Word of God, God's Word was compromised, they've walked away from that, and unfortunately, have walked away from their families, even many of them, from the church, and they get very emotional when someone comes in and says the Bible is true, and because it has great implications. If the Bible is true and Genesis is true, then God made male and female, and marriage is a man and a woman, and they start to realize that, and it's convicting for them, and it invokes a real spiritual battle.
Thank you for the call here. And Ken, it really goes back, because we continue to ask that question, yea, hath God said? Did God really say this? And we continue to question the authority of Scripture as a result. Jesse is calling from Loxley, yeah, Alabama. And Jesse, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. I've been listening in. You know, and I had some questions, you know, about the interpretation, you know, I mean, and why the church is failing as well, you know. So it's I guess it's part of a question, and the part is a statement, you know. The first part, meaning, what does it mean that we're created in God's image and likeness? I mean, I'm getting down to the basics of faith, you know, here, and in doing that, you know, I've been invited to some churches even recently, and they say, come to our church and come visit. And the first thing I ask is, what is the meaning of going to church? And often, sometimes, they'll answer, well, it's to be Christ-like. You know, that's the goal, to come to church, to be Christ-like. You know, we're calling people into church, and people that come to church see that, you know, nobody's wearing robes, nobody's wearing sandals, nobody has tool bags, nobody's trying to walk on water. You know, so, I mean, you know, religion and the church is really failing people at this point, you know.
Okay, Jesse, you're asking perhaps several questions there, but...
Yeah. Well, let me just say that, you know, when somebody says to be Christ-like, but we have generations today who don't know who Christ is. We have generations today who don't, you said, made in the image of God. Yes, yes, what does it mean that we're made in the image of God? We're separate to the animals. Actually, our education system teaches us that we're just animals, and pastors that teach evolution are saying that we evolved from animals, so we're really no different from animals in that sense. And you know, young people today have no concept of sin, because the origin of sin is in Genesis, and they have questions about how can there be a loving God with all the death and suffering in the world. And you have these pastors that are saying you can believe in millions of years. Well, millions of years came out of deistic and atheistic naturalism to explain the fossil record before man, which is full of death and disease and so on. And when people in the church are told you can believe in millions of years, doesn't matter, then the death and suffering we see today has gone on for millions of years. I would say that so many people in our churches today don't understand Christianity. They don't understand the whole basics of the message of the gospel, because much of the church has given up the history in Genesis, and they've gone to teaching fluff and stuff and experiential things, and so they're all over the place in regard to moral issues, because they haven't taught the absolute authority of the Word of God right from the very first verse. So it is a major problem. It's like a virus, a disease through our churches, and we have got to get back to the authority of the Word and raise up generations who know what they believe, know why they believe what they do, and know how to defend the Christian faith and answer these skeptical questions.
Thank you, Jesse. Rex is next in Mora, Minnesota. Rex, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim and Ken. I just had a couple of comments. A while back, I was kind of questioning why I go to church in the first place if we ancestors of primates, I guess, or some space junk or something. But I read Ken's book, The Lie, and that reinforced my faith that the Bible is true, and it's too bad that our public school system isn't producing more critical thinkers and who will believe in the truth that God's word is true, and all the lies of this world are, well, that's just what they are, lies.
Well, when you think about it, you know, we've got this false idea today of the so-called separation of church and state, and, oh, the public schools, oh, you can't have religion in the public schools, so they throw the Bible out and creation out, but they didn't throw religion out. They threw Christianity out and replaced it with the religion of naturalism, which is atheism, because now they're saying to students, you explain everything without God. God's not a part of this. You explain the whole universe without God. And we have, think about it, 90-95% of kids from church homes are going to the public schools, and they're being indoctrinated for hours every day in naturalism, in atheism, and most of our churches aren't teaching apologetics and teaching them how to answer the skeptical questions and the things they're hearing, and most parents aren't taking on their God-given responsibility to train their kids. No wonder we're losing them, and no wonder the church is not impacting the culture like it used to. Sadly, the culture has invaded much of the church. That's what's really happened.
Yeah. Thank you, Rex, for the call. West Dallas, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Hi, brothers. I hear people say from time to time that Genesis 1 to 11 is just God telling us that he created all things, you know? And he accomplished that in the first sentence of the Bible, where he says, created the heavens and the earth. Why did he waste all that space in the preceding chapters 1 to 11 just to lie about all the details? It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And if you think about it, say take Matthew 19 and Mark 10. In Matthew 19, we have Jesus, who's God's son. Jesus, as the God-man, when asked about marriage, said, haven't you read, he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? So he quotes from Genesis 1:27 and said, for this cause shall man to his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and quotes from Genesis 2:24. Actually, the historical event that God made male and female, and that he made the male from dust and woman from his side, as we read in Genesis 1 and 2, is the foundation for marriage. Genesis 3 helps us understand, or enables us to understand, where sin came from and why death is in the world, and then why we need a Savior. In fact, Genesis 3:15 is the preaching of the gospel, of the enmity between thee and the woman, your seed, her seed, it shall bruise your head, you his heel, and so on. And so, actually, all of our doctrines are founded in Genesis 1 to 11. It's the history that's foundational to the whole of the rest of the Bible.
Thank you, Brad, for the call. We're up against a break. Ken Ham is our guest, and we'll come back with more of your calls. So let's see. We got Pete and Andrew and Glenn. Hang on the line. You'll be our next callers. Answersingenesis.org is a website. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. Well, I believe Russia is mentioned in the Bible. I also believe China is represented in the Bible. There are many nations listed in the scriptures as part of the last days nations. America, I don't see. What has happened to America? Well, we really don't know, but I do know this. I'm watching Russia and I'm watching China. Do you know these two superpowers have joined forces against America? They're working to undermine the American dollar as the world reserve currency and the petrodollar. Did you know that Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South America have merged together for a banking system to go against America? Yes, indeed. America seems to be in the crosshairs of Russia and China. Yet many Americans are not watching it. We are. Because we understand some potential prophetic implications. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Ken Ham is with us today from Answers in Genesis. We're going right back to the phone calls. And Pete in Alamo, Texas, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering about the fact that Abe Lincoln is also born on, the evolutionary guy.
Yeah, Charles Darwin.
On Abe Lincoln's birthday.
Right. Yeah, we mentioned that.
Oh, you did mention it? Well,
yeah.
I didn't hear that part of the program. I'm sorry. I just thought that kind of a coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Actually, it's interesting. You know, when my beard was a little longer and a little darker before I got older, people often would say I look like Abraham Lincoln. So I was always interested in his birthday. Every call, so there you are.
Thank you, Pete. Andrew is calling from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. You're on the air, Andrew.
Hey, good afternoon. Before you started taking callers, your guest made the remark about college students going away and falling from the faith and getting away from some of their background and everything.
Yeah.
And the first thing that occurred to me was Scripture, like Crosstalk always does, sends me to Scripture mentally. And I was thinking where Paul urged the early church to earnestly contend for the faith.
Hmm.
And part of the problem, I think, with churches is that we have tried to make the church fit the world rather than the world obey Scripture.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the things that I have emphasized over and over again is that really there's a battle between two religions that started in Genesis 3, a battle between God's Word and man's Word. There are only two religions in the world in an ultimate sense, God's Word, man's Word. And we see that battle all through Scripture, light and darkness. Build your house on the rock, don't build your house on the sand. For Christ, against the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Choose you this day which God whom you will serve. I mean, we see this all the way through Scripture. And when you look at what happened with the Israelites, so many of them compromised with man's word religion, the Canaanite religion, for instance, and adopted pagan ways. And look what it did to them. It destroyed them. And we're doing the same today when you have so many in the church who are taking the pagan religion of the age, which is evolution, millions of years. It's the pagan religion to explain life without God, and they're compromising God's word. They're undermining the authority of Scripture, and it's having consequences in the exodus from the church and the coming generations that no longer believe the Bible. So, yeah, it's this battle between God's word and man's word. It's been happening ever since Genesis 3, and it's happening right before our very eyes today.
Thank you, Andrew, for the call. Moving on to Glenn in Hamilton, Missouri. You're on the air, Glenn.
Yes, I'm a 55-year-old college student. I just started seminary this semester, and we have a discussion board, and somebody posted the question, if there was only Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel in the Garden of Eden, who did Cain marry, and where did they come from? And it stumped a lot of us, and I was just kind of wondering if your guest would be able to answer that question, give me a little insight that I could properly post for others, too. I'll get off the line and listen on the radio. Thank you.
Okay, absolutely. I've asked that question a lot, actually. And, you know, for a seminary student to post that on a board and ask that question, first thing I would say to them is, have you read past Genesis chapter 5? Because Genesis 5 and 4 says Adam had other sons and daughters. So they just didn't have Cain and Abel and Seth. They had other sons and daughters. And when you think about the fact that the Bible makes it very clear we're all descended of Adam, by one man, Adam, sin entered the world. There was one man to start with. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says Adam was the first man. And Genesis 3:20 says Eve was to be the mother of all the living. So one man, one woman, by one man sin came into the world, so we're all sinners. So God's Son steps into history to be the last Adam, Jesus Christ the God-man, to take the place of the first Adam, to die for the descendants of Adam. So there's only one race. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. Originally, brothers had to marry sisters. Now remember, you get married to your relative anyway. Everyone who marries their relative. Because we're all related, because we all go back to Adam and Eve. It's just best not to marry a close relative today. God didn't change that rule with the Israelites until the time of Moses, when he said no longer can close relations marry. Abraham was married to his half-sister, wasn't a problem. The doctrine of marriage is one man for one woman. But because of sin, we now have all these mistakes in our genes. So if you're closely related, those mistakes can be expressed as deformities in the offspring, which is why it's best to marry someone further away in relationship from you. And different countries have different rules in regard to that. But it's all easy to understand, understanding what the scripture says. Marriage is one man for one woman. So originally, a brother and sister marrying, provided it was one man for one woman for life, there's no difference between that and a man and woman getting married today, except in the closeness of their relationship. So those questions are easy to understand.
Genesis 5:4 will give you that answer there, where Adam begat sons and daughters. Let's go to Mingo, calling from Texas. Mingo, you're on the air.
Yeah, Brother Jim, tremendous show you have today. I do have a question for my brother there, is that in Romans 1, Paul uses creation, you know. Nobody's without excuse. You have the creation. Who can make the clouds? Who can make the sky? Who can make the stars? Mm-hmm. Who can make an earth? Only God can. So, I mean, if people want to do that, it's because they just want to argue about the Bible. The other thing, Brother Jim, we do have church on Sundays in the mornings, in the evenings, and on Wednesdays on the evenings. There are a lot of churches that are closed up. They only have church on the morning, and this is why we're having lots of problems, because the churches are being closed instead of being open.
And let me just say this, you know, Romans 1, and I like the fact you brought up Romans 1, because Romans 1 tells us that God has made it evident to all that he's the creator. So everyone is without excuse. You can tell by just looking at plant life and animal life, looking at DNA. DNA could never arise by natural processes. And you're right, it's so obvious there's a God. But what does it say? That people who rebel against God, they do it willingly. You know, 2 Peter 3 says people are willingly ignorant. They deliberately reject. Romans 1 says they worship the creature rather than the creator. And, you know, as people rebel against God, Romans 1 also tells us a sign that God is turning a culture over to judgment because they rebel against him is the sign of homosexual behavior, which, Jim, brings us back to our original topic here, right. The issue of homosexual behavior that's so rampant in our culture is really a sign, I believe, that God is turning our culture over to judgment because of rebellion against him.
Ken Ham, our guest today, answersingenesis.org is his website. Folks, check it out, and be sure you plan a family vacation around the Creation Museum and Ark Encounter. Ken, thank you so much for standing for the truth, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Jim.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.